Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
1 hour to go. I want to get into a look at the standings and if the play that game if the season were to end today, who the Golden State Warriors would face in that first round. Take a look at potentially the play-in matchups. Do they still have a shot at the sixth seed? Can they get to the Phoenix Suns or the New Orleans Pelicans? I don't see why not. I'm only talking about 3.5 games, which is a lot with 19 to go.
It's a lot tougher to come back in the NBA than the MLB or the NFL.
True. And you're also looking to leapfrog a lot of teams. So it's not just 3.5. It's 3.5 games that you have to make up, but also leapfrogging the Kings, the Mavericks, the Lakers. So there's a challenge there. But certainly doable. But I do want to play the game, you know, the Warriors in the play-in game, which would, you know, they would have to take on the Lakers if the season were to end today, and just take a look at some of those scenarios. But before we do that, let's get out to the phone lines once again. 888-957-9570. Mitch is hanging out in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on, my man?
How you guys doing?
Mitch, before we go anywhere, where in Jersey are you exactly?
Oh, you were talking about, I'm in East Windsor. I'm from Staten Island. Yep.
That's right. Now, what do you know about Bayonne?
Bayonne Bridge.
Yeah, talk about Bayonne. What do you think about
Bayonne? Nice.
What do you think about the people from Bayonne? Are they all right?
They're cool. They're good.
The other side of the bridge. You know, you never can trust the other side of the bridge sometimes. All right, go ahead, Mitch.
Oh, really? I know. I'm from a good side of Staten Island. Right by the College Center. Hey, unfortunately, with Curry with injury, but you're kind of deep at a backcourt. I mean, you got two Hall of Famers sitting on the bench. I mean, they're getting the share minutes. But I'm glad to see, and it wasn't the right way, but I'm glad to see Moody get more time. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Mitch. Where is he? He's from Windsor or something. I don't know. Where the hell is he from?
He's from Staten Island, but he lives in East Windsor. So, okay. Like, that's like South Jersey. Like, my mother lives down that near that area.
Staten Island's a lot of cops and firemen.
Good pizza.
I've been to the East Coast once my entire life.
Yeah, why is that?
I was in eighth grade for a field trip going to, you know, Philadelphia, going to Jersey, New York. My best friend, he like went up to one of the Elmo impersonator actors there in a whole costume, kicked him, and the guy was like, hey, like, we're going to throw hands now. So my only time on the East Coast, we got threatened by Elmo, of all people.
You
got
to be careful, man.
Like, what's going on? I'm like,
they're regular
14.
People. Careful.
Saw the naked cowboy out there playing his guitar. It's a good time.
I was talking to a buddy recently who grew up in New York, and he was talking about the rivalries, and he's one of those like, yeah, San Francisco's just like New York. There's nothing like, you know, New York and Boston.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, and he's an older guy that I swim with, and he's like, you know, I had a roommate in New York that would go to Knicks games, Yankee games, just to get into a fight. Like he said, he would give me bail money before he left the house.
Oh, my goodness.
That's, you know, that's the way that some of those people are wired.
He's prepared, though, hey. Just in case.
I made this statement last week that, listen, Andrew Wiggins, I get it. Personal reasons, we have no idea what it is that he's dealing with. And as, you know, as the media, as well as Coach Kerr and company, you have to handle it with sort of kid gloves because you just don't know. I'm just telling you from a fan standpoint, Andrew Wiggins, be thankful you ain't playing in New York or Philadelphia or Boston. Because they sure as hell are going after you. And
I don't think he would have made it through last season.
True.
Like he would have been booed out of the building.
But Andrew Wiggins is one of those guys that, again, we have touched on this. He's in that sweet spot. Mm-hmm. The Warriors are sort of feast or famine. They're either too old or they're too young. And you got one guy who's sort of in that 28, 29. He's 29 years of age. That should be balling. But because of the inconsistency and the frustration that is Andrew Wiggins, you get glimpses from time to time, and then he just sort of disappears.
Do you think he's here next year? I know it's a long ways away, but...
Well, you have the... That's a good question, because you have the contract, obviously.
Right.
But he now becomes... this coincides, right, with the emergence of some of these younger players.
Yep.
Does he become expendable? Are you ready to commit to Moses Moody? Well, who's going to play then the other forward spot?
You can go sign somebody else if you need to, right?
Yeah. It's interesting because...
What about TJD playing the five or the four?
Yeah, that's a good...
Like, he's playing
well. So your front line would be TJD, Draymond,
yeah,
and Kuminga.
That's if you don't have a bench. Like, there's a whole offseason that will eventually come and go where they can change the roster around, but Chris Paul's going to be gone. Like, they're going to be players if they want to move a contract outside of Chris Paul. Like, they can go sign a big name if they wanted to.
I think the question then becomes, just to play with it for a second, if my front court is Trayce Jackson-Davis,
mm-hmm.
Are we putting him at the five?
Mm.
Putting him at the four?
Probably.
So if you've got Trayce Jackson-Davis at a forward, Draymond's the center. Yeah, I think Draymond is just suited for that center position. And then you got Kuminga at the other forward spot. Defensively, can Trayce Jackson-Davis get out? And can he? I know
Maybe
he's
not.
A good defender, but that would be my concern.
And again, they go
when teams go small.
Right, which this team likes to do, but you are right, yes. Like, and he's only going to be in year two. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to play a year two player as a starter. Hard to play a year two player in general at times.
It's certainly worth thinking about. He's year two, but he's going to be 25 years of age next year.
That's like him and Pajemski, right? They're both, what, 3-4-year starters in college, and Moody, a 4-year starter at Arkansas.
Yeah.
Like, these guys know how to play. Like, kind of like Brock Purdy.
Well, no, Moody was 1 year.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he came into the league at age 19. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it was part of the reason, after taking two teenagers in Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody, I think there was a level of intent behind the drafting of a guy who had been 4 years at Indiana.
Draft-ready players.
Yeah, I think that they recognize that there's so many hurdles and that, you know, these players having the quote-unquote potential tag was not an area that they wanted to continue to go down. And that's the reason why Trayce Jackson-Davis was somebody that sort of filled out what it is that they were looking for. And also under a coach in Mike Woodson, who not only had experience as a player at the NBA level, but was a coach at the NBA level. So you have that guy.
He definitely unlocked Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Yeah, and so he was the perfect fit, I think, when you think about their recent draft history and going with teenagers and Moses Moody, a teenager and Jonathan Kuminga, and then pulling the trigger. But Jemski not... You know, he wasn't a 4-year player at Santa Clara in Illinois, but still a guy that I think we'd all agree is sort of one of those old souls.
He's
he
grown.
May as well have been somebody who played 5 years, right? Because he's just that guy who gets it. That
looks like Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's young, a really young player.
Oh God, we're not working Brock.
No,
Purdy
I'm not. I'm just saying, like, he came in with 4 years under his belt, experience,
true.
Had seen all these systems, all these plays, all these defenses, and came in saying, "This does not like I don't feel like a fish out of water in the NFL." Pajamski and Trayce Jackson-Davis, although at times look like that, the vast majority of their play, they look like they fit in the NBA.
Agreed. All right, so the Golden State Warriors currently sitting at the number 10 seed. They're a half game behind the Lakers. They are 1.5 behind the Mavericks. Once again, those two teams still have 3 games left between each other. A lot to be said between now and the end of the year when you're talking about the Dallas Mavericks and the Golden State Warriors. They'll play the first of those 3 games coming up on Wednesday, and they'll do that at Dallas. But the Golden State Warriors, if they go in as a 10 seed, all right, let's just say that, you know, the Lakers stay ahead of them, and they got to play the Lakers in that play-in game. What chances do you give them not only getting out of the play-in series, but a team that potentially could get back to the Western Conference Finals?
Ooh.
Can they get, well, let's just start with the Lakers. Can they beat the Lakers in a play-in
game? Well, they play them 2 more times. They play them this Sunday, then April 9th, so a tiebreaker could be up for grabs. That game could be at Chase Center, or that game could be at Crypto. Like, it depends on where that game is, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think the Lakers, with the bigger body players they have, LeBron, AD, it's going to give this smaller Golden State Warriors team some issues. Although I would like to see Golden State knock out LA after what happened last year, I have a hard time buying into the idea that LeBron and AD would not dominate the backcourt of Golden State.
And LeBron James, who became the first NBA player this past week to score 40,000 points, and he still got it going. And a guy that he's dealing with a bad ankle of his own.
Guy's got to be healthy, mind you.
Yes.
We're working under the idea Curry's back, LeBron's back, AD's healthy.
Every time I hear LeBron James, and again, this came up this past week and I heard this, that he cannot wait to play with his son, Bronny.
Bronny, yeah.
That ain't happening next year.
No.
Like, has anybody seen Bronny James play basketball at USC?
Well, it went from, oh, he's a borderline first-round pick to he may not get drafted.
No, you cannot draft him. I don't care if it means LeBron James is coming to join my team and I'm whomever. If I'm Charlotte.
You wouldn't take a second-round flyer on Bronny to get LeBron?
No.
Really?
Not a second round. No, the guy's not even...
LaMelo, Bronny, LeBron.
He is not worthy of getting drafted right now. He has to go into the league as a free agent.
What if your team like the Knicks, though? And I'm sure Ken back there will love this. You got Randall, right? Go out and get LeBron. You have Bronny. You put some other things together. I think Brunson's there. Like, LeBron has always had an eye towards New York. I know he went to Miami, then L.A., but he's always had an eye, a favor. The Big Apple might appease me. If I'm a team like New York that wants that star, you got Randall, you got LeBron, you got Brunson, you got Bronny James. Like, if that could entice LeBron to New York, I think they would take a second round flyer on him.
If I knew that his wagon was hitched to Bronny, and it's a package deal.
Do you think it is, though?
And I'm who's the lunatic that...
Dolan?
Dolan. And I'm...
Leon Rose kind of runs things, really. Dolan kind of just sits on the side.
He's thankfully a face.
We just got on the right track in the last couple years. This would just recreate another circus. Sterling, please don't.
Yeah,
put
you'll
that
watch
out there.
Every night, though.
Of course I would. But, I mean, what good would it do? I don't want to
see. Wins and losses don't matter if you have LeBron in New York. It's the money.
Yeah, no, you know what? Kenny from Queens brings up a good point. I think that they have waited forever to get to this point. Yeah. And now that they're, you know, with the Josh Harts of the world, the Robinsons, and, you know, you've got Brunson and you got Randall, that's a younger. We talked about the sweet spot. Like, they're in
they're
that
in
sweet,
a good sweet spot.
They're in that good 25 to 28 year old
sort
of, like. They
got the Villanova boys out there doing it together again. Yeah.
Yeah. And DiVincenzo.
Yeah.
DiVincenzo.
Big ragu.
You love DiVincenzo.
Well, DiVincenzo in New York. I mean, like,
this
oh,
makes sense.
DiVincenzo, we're gonna go see DiVincenzo at the Garden tonight. Like, come on, man, where else should he be playing?
That's funny.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, if I knew for 1 year that I got LeBron James, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like,
because I sure as hell am not drafting Bronny, hoping he's coming.
Interesting.
Because Bronny's,
I would not draft him. I'm just saying.
Here's the thing, to really, in all honesty, just to look at this objectively, Bronny James might have a shot at the NBA because there's a lot of kids as freshmen that aren't very good. He's not bad. He just, like, he does a lot of things, but he just, nothing stands out. So next year, he probably gets an opportunity to start and then plays better and things are slowing down for him. And then maybe in year 3, he can become more of a prominent player in the, Big 12.
What's more likely?
And then maybe 3 years from now, he goes into the NBA draft.
So, four-year player at USC, right? That's what you're saying.
Or LeBron. 3 years.
Okay, so does LeBron have three more years under him? Okay, so that's what you're getting at, really.
Exactly.
Is that LeBron's not playing three more years to wait for Bronny.
Okay. He's going to come out this year, and LeBron James is going... And LeBron James is already talking about, although he sort of had to temper things, how, you know, his son is better than anybody in the locker room right now and was taking a shot at the Los Angeles Lakers and talking about how he's game ready and why he had to delete a tweet this past week when he said, hey, everybody lay off of Bronny James. Yeah. Like, he's just a kid. Like, come on, man. You can't
hype him up.
Exactly.
And then take it back. What did you make of the Golden State Warriors?
You know why Bronny became relevant?
Why?
Is because ESPN took him off their draft board.
Okay.
So, you know, their draft board, he was no longer, so now they even have projected him as a guy that's not getting drafted. And that's when LeBron James chimed in and said, hey, listen,
stop
man, he's 19 years old or 18.
Talk to his boy Windhorse. He works there. Put him back on. What did you make of the Golden State Warriors kind of tiptoeing around the idea of calling LA, saying, hey, like, what does LeBron feel about coming up to Golden State?
Yeah, that I don't understand. Is that Draymond Green?
Who knows? Is that just them trying to toy with, hey, we might need somebody else?
Well, okay, so what I need to know is who it is that you're giving. Because I'm surprised. It's interesting that you bring that up. Because I'm surprised on some teams, and again, the Warriors, because they've cultivated the proper culture, and it starts at the top and with Steve Kerr. These guys are, you know, these guys are level-headed people. That you don't have that turbulent sort of back and forth and cancer in the locker room that you see with other teams that never pertains to the Golden State Warriors. But just
think about... There's been instances of that.
Yeah, but it's been sort of mild that you can deal with. It's not to the point where it's like...
It may have detoured their entire...
You're talking about last year.
I mean, it's saying there have been instances of one certain player that may have made some problems in the locker room.
Yes. But I'm talking about nothing that obvious, obviously. I'm just talking about the back talking and the bad vibes.
Right.
Like, you don't see a lot of that with the Warriors, but there was a recipe. If it was Draymond Green, it had to be Draymond that initiated that. All right, because LeBron James, they all belong to the same, you know,
they
belong to Clutch Sports. They're all tight. They all hang out. And for him to come and play with the Golden State Warriors, you know that the Los Angeles Lakers, all right, well, give me Jonathan Kuminga, give me draft picks, and give me Moody or whomever.
Right.
So. Now that we know that LeBron James was able to save face and saying, no, I'm not interested, I'm just curious, like, it could have been a lot uglier when you had Draymond Green going back to the locker room after the All-Star break and Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, and everybody else knowing, dude, did you just try and ship me off? Like,
well, that's how it was with LeBron when they had Lonzo and Ingram and Randall. Like, hey, like, you're supposed to be the tying piece to make us better. Now we're out there playing New Orleans. Josh Hart was also there. Like, they brought him to the Lakers to be the star around their young core, the four players they had. And then within, like, 5 months, he was like, get him out of here.
Yeah.
Like, the last thing you want is Draymond. And I look at that more as Clutch working their magic, saying, oh, LeBron wants to play with Steph, and trying to make the Lakers look bad to make LeBron look better. That's how I view that.
How do you think the Lakers, had they not listened to LeBron James, the GM? Now, they won that one title in the bubble, which I put a huge asterisk next to. But think about the Los Angeles Lakers. Had he never come to town, and you just think about the Lakers and their starting lineup, they didn't move everybody. You got D-Russ, you got Lonzo Ball, you got Julius Randle, you got Brandon Ingram, and you got Josh. That's your starting five.
But there also is something to say that maybe it took those guys leaving and going elsewhere to become who they are today. Like, maybe it took getting traded to New York for Randle to become an all-star forward. Maybe it took going to New Orleans for Ingram to kind of bud into a star. And Lonzo's been hurt for 2 years.
No, that's true. Lonzo,
like, with my Chicago Bulls of all people. Like, man.
And we're leaving out KCP, who's also part of that team.
Ankle monitor KCP?
Hey, listen, KCP is one of those guys that is quietly a good defender.
He's on Denver now, right?
He's on Denver. He locks up Steph Curry. Steph Curry does not like playing against this guy. So, he might be the Steph stopper. Remember the Kobe stopper back in the day? Ruben Patterson? So, the Golden State Warriors, if the season were to end today, got the Los Angeles Lakers in that play-in game. And again, just to... I said this early on in the show, that It's important in all teams, the Warriors, the Lakers, the Mavericks, the Kings, the Suns, and the Pelicans, you can all throw into that mix, want to avoid the playing game. Like, it's something right. you want nothing to do with, so you want to get into that sixth seed. But I would say it's more important for the Golden State Warriors than any of the other teams that I just mentioned.
Over L.A.?
Well, the Lakers are an older team, too. But
no, they're aside, kind of in the same group to me.
Well, aside from LeBron, who else is old?
Anthony Davis is always injured.
Yeah, he could use the time off, but he's like, still in his late 20s.
Their stars need it more than the entire roster might.
Yeah. I guess the Lakers and the Warriors are sort of, I would say the Warriors more so because there's three guys.
Right, compared to two, yeah.
That need the rest.
Even toss in Chris Paul in there too, maybe. He's an older guy. He's 40.
You know, and when I watch the Warriors, so getting that, you know, that six seed gives you that week off. When I watch the Warriors play, you know, if I was the coach of the Golden State Warriors, I would just make sure that I didn't have Steph, Draymond, Klay, and Chris Paul on the floor at the same time. That's just, aside from the fact that all those guys are future Hall of Famers, and they're all remarkable players, but it's just too old. Yeah. It's just too old. Like, you can't, you know, the reason why the Warriors are so good with youth is look at Pajemski run. How many times is Pajemski just, not even with the ball in his hand, just beating everybody up the floor, just filling a lane? Same thing with Trayce Jackson-Davis. Like, throw it to me. If it was a sprint, they're always beating everyone up the floor. Like, that energy
the effort's
is
always there.
Yeah. Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say that if you are the Warriors and you are a game and a half behind LA, like, when I look at who they have to jump to get to the sixth seed, I have a hard time believing that they're going to make it there. Like, they don't play the Suns again. They don't play the Kings again. So you have the Mavericks and Lakers a total of five more times. Two of them this week if Stephen Curry does not play. That leaves three games where you may or may not have Steph, depending on how long he's out, where you get to play the Mavericks and Lakers. You're almost putting your hope in other teams' hands, and the Warriors themselves, despite me thinking they could win three or four without Steph, have been one of the most inconsistent teams this year. Like, there is no guarantee the Warriors win, I don't know, 14 more games, 10 the year. They can be in all those games. There's no guarantee. And if Steph's out for a week and a half, just as you can win three or four, three or five, you can also be 1-4, 0-5. Like, that's just the way the NBA goes. Any given night, even a bad team like San Antonio, if they get Wemby back on Monday, they could beat you. And you're sitting back saying, oh my goodness, we are in dangerous territory here. Now we're 2.5 from LA. Now we're 3.5 behind Dallas. We can't catch these guys. Like, this week is very pivotal to what Golden State needs to get done for the remainder of the season, which is why I think that starts tonight. Because if you lose tonight, and maybe even on Monday, or split those two games, you're sitting back saying, uh-oh. Like, our trek up the path gets a lot harder, and it might be almost nearly impossible for the Warriors.
Well, the one thing that you can hang your hat on is that the Golden State Warriors will be in the play-in game as the 10 seed.
Correct. They're not falling to 11.
They're not falling to 11. But at that 10 seed, I would almost say, look, it's either get to the 6 or, you know, playing in the postseason is going to be beneficial for the young players regardless.
Yeah.
And if that's what we're doing here, just seasoning them so that they're better prepared going forward next year and the years to come, well then, yeah, go ahead, get in a play-in game or two. But there's no way in hell that you're making a run at the Western Conference Finals. No. That's just not happening for an aging team at the 10 seed.
Do you actually think that if, let's say, Golden State runs the gauntlet and makes it to the 6 seed?
Yes.
You think they can go to the Western Conference Finals?
I do. Oh, there's no
What's
doubt.
What's the path there for you then?
Well, the path is that there's nobody in the Western Conference that should keep you up at night, including Minnesota or the only team, obviously, of the Denver Nuggets.
Right.
Now, if they see the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals, I would say they'd be underdogs. They can beat the Nuggets.
They've had them close, what, three times this year?
They can beat the Nuggets, but the Nuggets are going to be favored, and the Nuggets should get past the Golden State Warriors. But Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and now Minnesota,
OKC's really good.
OKC's good.
And they're really young, which doesn't fare well for Golden State.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, if you ever listen to the show, huge fan. And the Jalen Williams
amazing.
Out of Santa Clara is a
Chet
star.
Holmgren. Yep.
Chet Holmgren, and then Josh Giddey and Lu Dort. Like, they do it all. Here's the issue with Minnesota as well. No hard knocks.
Okay.
Usually what you got to do in order to get over that hump is sort of what Boston's done. Like, right, you've got to, as a young team, get to the playoffs. You get frustrated. You try again next year. You knock on that door. And then, you know, you get to the NBA Finals. You get frustrated with that of the Golden State Warriors. There's usually that process that happens in the NBA with younger teams. Like, you usually got to go through that before become that team. OKC hasn't had the hard knocks.
Even Golden State did that, right? They had three stars, but they had to take a loss here or there.
The Clippers were their nemesis for years. And, you know, there's some teams that don't fall under that heading. But typically when you're talking about teams like Oklahoma, Minnesota has a little playoff experience. But, you know, they haven't done it to the extent of these other teams. Like, they got to go. I still think they're 2 or 3 years, maybe a year away before them really beginning to be considered a team that's going to the NBA Finals and winning it.
Okay.
And I just think that's sort of what has been the blueprint for the NBA for years, going back in the days with the Detroit Pistons and the Bulls. Remember the Bulls?
Yeah, couldn't get past them.
And the Detroit Pistons. Remember a young Michael Jordan company? They had to get past the Pistons in order to get to the NBA Finals and be that team. Like, there's always that process when it comes to the playoffs and the NBA. All right, do we got to get to a break?
Oh, yeah.
Kenny from Queens is like, get the hell out of here.
I don't want to get in trouble. Gotta hit our brakes.
We'll continue with Warriors This Week. It's the final segment when we return after this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
Hi again, everybody. Dan Avone alongside Sterling Bennett. As we wrap up the show, the final half hour before the Golden State Warriors get ready for the San Antonio Spurs tonight without Wembanyama. Wembanyama is expected to be back on Monday. He, too, dealing with a bad ankle, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
And so Wembanyama lists San Antonio Spurs, taking on a Golden State Warrior team that comes into the game at 33 up and 29 down. They're four games over the 500 mark once again. 10.5 games out of that first place behind the Thunder. More importantly, a half game back of the Lakers. They are a game and a half back of the Mavericks for the 8th seed. And they are three games back of the Kings for that 7th seed and 3.5 back. And that's really sort of what you're looking for. To walk down and catch the Phoenix Suns. 3.5 games back of Phoenix if they're to avoid the playing games altogether. So they certainly have their work cut out for them. There is no more room for losses to the likes of the Chicago Bulls of the world.
Yeah.
and they take on San Antonio. How do you see the two games? Are they splitting? Are they winning both?
I think they'll win both, especially if Wemby does not play. If that game on Monday he does play, it gets a lot tougher. But I do think Golden State should be able to take care of business against a 13-win team in the Spurs.
So apparently Wemby is expected to go on Monday.
Okay, so Wemby's back, not tonight, but okay. That game gets tougher, but even then, like, Steve Kerr has had a history of, at least in the past, you know, 6-7 years, like, him and Pop, there really isn't usually a split there. There's so much admiration for Pop from Steve Kerr, obviously playing under him for a long time, but Golden State's a better team. Like, they're 20 wins more better, like 25 wins better in a playoff hunt. Like, you should be able to beat a 13-win team tonight without Wemby. And even when they get Wemby back on Monday, like, I get it's a, you're getting a star. Like, Wemby is awesome. If you have not seen him play, I mean, he is the next big thing of the NBA. But Golden State should be able to take care of business both nights, I believe.
Speaking of Wembanyama, he is, look, we talked about this earlier, and for those of you that missed it, this guy is worth the price of admission.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of players in professional sports. I remember I used to have this conversation when I was covering Ichiro. Like, Ichiro was one of the few guys in Major League Baseball that you'd actually pay to go see that particular player.
Curry's one now.
Curry has been one for a long, long time. Yeah. You pay to go see LeBron. I mean, the NBA, because it's only five players and because it's so player-star-driven. You see their faces, driven, too. Yeah, it's more opt in the it's more, you're more apt to do that at the NBA level as opposed to the NFL and certainly Major League Baseball. Wembanyama is, for those of you that have not seen him play, and I know it's in a small market in San Antonio, he's not on national television. For those that aren't familiar with him, he is exceeded, believe it or not, expectations. I mean, this guy, we talked about Oklahoma City and Chet Holmgren. They squared off, so they got a little Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain thing going on. Like, these two are vying for Rookie of the Year, even though Chet Holmgren's been in the league
for
2 years.
Who can take control of the Midwest basketball scene, basically?
Yeah, and so, do you consider San Antonio Midwest? Sort of Texas.
I mean, yeah, but that's considered the Midwest, right?
I defer to you, Mr. Okay. See? So, when you talk about, you know, these two are sort of got a rivalry going, the two bigs. And it was interesting. So, they squared off. It was Chet Holmgren versus Wembanyama and San Antonio versus Oklahoma City. Last week, I want to say it was in San Antonio, and San Antonio won the game. So, they beat Oklahoma City. They can, you know, it's not that they don't lose to everybody.
It's not going
to
be a cakewalk.
And so, those two were going at each other.
Okay.
And so, Chet Holmgren, who's at, what's Chet, 7'2", I want to say?
He's a pretty good, big guy, yeah.
Wembanyama's coming in at 7'3", 7'4", I think 7'4". Those two, with Chet Holmgren, had the ball out on the wing about 16 to 18 feet from the hoop.
Chet's 7'1".
7'1". Okay, and what's Wembanyama?
7'4".
7'4". So 7'1 versus 7'4", and here's Chet Holmgren using his handles, going between his legs, looking for a step-back three, and you got Wembanyama at 7'4", matching him the whole way, and blocks his shot. And Chet Holmgren falls on his butt, and Wemby goes the other way and shoots a three of his own. You know what? In that one brief exchange, I was sitting there sterling going, what the hell am I? What planet is this? When did we ever think we'd see guys at 7'2 and 7'4", like with handles, blocking a shot on a three, going back the other way and shooting a three on their own? Like, when I was growing up, that wasn't even in my wildest fantasies.
Like, for me, being 27, it was Tim Duncan and Shaq and other guys like that. It's not like you have...
They didn't have handles like
no,
this.
No, you got 7'4 point guards basically now. You have
size
guys...
matter.
It really does. Like, if I'm the Spurs, you have the ultimate, like, offsetter. Like, you, who can guard Wemby? Oh, bigger body guy. Yeah, he's got 4 inches on him still. You can't... And then you add in the wingspan. You know, he can hit threes. You're not blocking his shot. He'll block your shot easily. He's averaging almost 3.5 blocks a game as a rookie. As a rookie. Like, I know he's not playing tonight, which kind of puts a damper on the game, but Monday, like, my eyes are going to be glued to that screen.
Yeah, he's worth the price of admission, and he's going to change things. He is going to be, I think he has the potential to exceed anybody that's ever done it. I mean,
really?
Oh, as great as Michael Jordan was, as good as LeBron is, as good as Steph Curry is, what this guy can do, again, potentially.
Right.
He's got to stay healthy. It's 7'4".
I was going to say, do you worry about the body breaking down at a certain time?
You have to. Yeah. The lower extremities at 7'4", you have to.
You can also bulk up a little bit, too, if he needs to.
Yeah, I used to think that.
Okay.
Until Kevin Durant came around, and I was like, you know, Kevin Durant's going to, he'll put on weight as he gets older. I guess he has, but from his rookie year, very thin.
Yeah, his legs are tiny.
Yeah, and Chet Holmgren's sort of the same way. So I don't know, when you have a frame like that, just how much weight you can put on. But he is really, the potential with him of just changing the game. Because unlike Steph, you're not talking about shooting a three, which he can do.
Right.
I think over the last month and a half, he's over 40%.
He's so good.
40% from three. That's just not right. But it's his blocking of the shot and controlling the rim on both ends.
Yeah.
The crossover dribble, the getting to the rim. He plays like a guy who's a whole foot smaller than him. I mean, he has that mentality.
He's someone in baseball you call it a five-tool player.
Yeah.
Like he's a five-tool player in the NBA.
Yeah,
and he really is. And he's not shooting 1-3 a game. He's shooting like 5 or 6. Like, he is an all-around jump shot shooter easily, three-point shooter behind the arc. He'll get in the paint. He'll back you down. Like, he isn't a bigger guy in regards to, like, width. But when you're 7'4 and can shoot, like, you just can do other things that these guys can't. And, again, he is the ultimate offsetter. You put Wemby on any team, he will take you far and away to the playoffs in a couple years. Like, on ESPN, they're talking about how long is that timeline for him to be patient with the Spurs. This is rookie season.
Yeah.
They're saying how many years will he give them, not how many years will they give him. And they're talking about, you got to go get guys now for Wemby.
You have to. This is, the future is now.
Yeah.
You get this, the 2-3 year plan when it comes to Wembanyama does not apply. You've got to build a winner around him right now, because you've got potentially, again, the greatest player to ever play this sport.
Yeah.
We've only, you know, you could see this sort of in the works over the last decade, the last two decades with bigs, you know, the guys that are able to shoot it, and the Embiids of the world, that you knew that something like this was just a matter of time before someone like Wembanyama came out of the lab and out of France and was this sort of player. Like, this has been in the works, that the developing and the creation, like Dr. Frankenstein working on the perfect basketball player who's 7'4", but can handle the basketball, can cross over, can get to the rim, can shoot threes. Like, you could see that this has been in the making for, you know, somewhere out in the world that this guy was going to come along, and voila, here he is. And it's one Victor Wembanyama. There's something about, you talked about his blocked shots. There's something about the blocked shot that just, it makes such a loud statement. And this is applicable also to Trayce Jackson Davis.
Okay.
Like, it's sort of, it's almost as, it's, he blocked Giannis, and he made Giannis look like a little kid. Like, it's this sense of just humiliating.
It's,
what is it, somebody almost, that you regard
it's
as...
It's almost disrespectful.
It's disrespectful, but it's just like, I don't, it's like, wow, this guy is, when he wants to, blocking people's shots that you, until his arrival, you never ever would even dream of.
Yeah.
And the blocked shot really makes, to me, a statement. I've maintained all along when it came to Trayce Jackson, my favorite play for the Golden State Warriors this year, prior to this week, was when he had the two blocks on Jaylen Brown.
Okay.
And that was about two and a half months ago now, where he blocked Jaylen Brown's dunk. And I jumped out of my seat because he came over in the rotation. And this is when Trayce Jackson Davis wasn't playing regularly. And like, when the hell have you ever seen somebody wearing a Golden State Warrior uniform protect the rim like that? I don't think Bogut ever did it. I don't know who has ever done that, a big that suddenly is giving you a presence. It is this foundational
piece.
It's
been a long time.
That suddenly, you know, you can walk down the alley and feel as though you can kick anybody's ass because you got this guy behind you, right?
Yeah.
Like, we can get into a fight. We got that. We got our boy behind us. Like, the Warriors have never had that. And when I saw that play, I was like, wow. Until this past week when he blocked Giannis on two consecutive shots, I believe.
Right, yeah.
And I think that had to sound out. That was the shot across the bow. in the NBA, like, hey, sit up and take notice. The Warriors have got, they got a big.
Yeah.
You know, because the Warriors' definition forever, even go back to Don Nelson, it's about, you know, running the floor and shooting threes.
Was Andres Biedrins was there, and what Anthony Randolph was a draft pick. They just have not prioritized that position.
Or they've tried and they've missed. I think Weissman, they thought in the perfect world, could have been this guy.
Bogut was here, and they had Ezeli was here for a little bit. Like, they have tried and been usually veteran players that have played for 8+ years that know how to play the game and whatnot. But what TJD has done in a short time span has been, I don't want to say a revelation for the Warriors, but it's certainly, at least as a fan, like, oh my goodness. Like, like, they finally have something, somebody in the paint that can be a presence, not just on the boards, but as a shot defender, a shot blocker, where that hasn't been here the past 4 or 5 seasons.
And again, just to push back on Steve Kerr when he says that I've got to get TJD ready for the playoffs, I got to give him some minutes. Well, you've had a couple of months where he could have played. You've had ample time to get him on the floor, I think. Now, were you going to start him at the beginning of the year? No. But I think he showed signs that he could have gotten a lot more run a lot earlier than this. And I just, my favorite coach in the NBA, Steve Kerr, one of my favorite people in the world, I always preface to Steve Kerr. But again, on a show like this, nobody's above criticism. Okay. And so Steve Kerr, I think, has just been slow to that party all year long. Even Pajemski, to a certain degree. Pajemski didn't get run until he was forced into the Minnesota game because there was no one to be playing. I mean, Klay Thompson, believe it or not, got thrown out of a game. And then you had, you know, that was the game Draymond Green gets kicked out of a game. All this happening, you know, before the third quarter, and Pajemski gets forced into that contest and had like 24 points, I think, and it was his sort of coming out party. And, you know, and we saw Jonathan Kuminga basically having to go into his office and saying, dude, what's up? I need to play. Why are you yanking me like this?
Well, going back to Kuminga publicly stating, like, I'm not really happy with the rotation or the minutes I'm getting, that is a moment, like you said, that the Golden State Warriors really haven't had that locker room cancer. Like, that could have been a breaking moment for Kerr and Kuminga. Like, okay, like, fine, like, if you don't want to, you know, bend to my will being Steve Kerr, okay, like, we can trade you away. What do? They come together, figure it out. Maybe it is Kerr, you know, unraveling that rope somewhat, giving Kuminga more leash, and now we see what happens. Sometimes it isn't always right for the player to do so. Sometimes a player is dead wrong and they got to go learn their lesson. But for Kuminga, it was like, hey, Kerr, give me a little bit more leeway and I can show you what I can do. And I think the Warriors are much better for it. We have Vel Mack on the YouTube chat, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union, saying, don't forget about Mo Spates. And Mo Spates, I think, was a great Warrior.
Mo Buckets!
Like, he was awesome. We also have Dublin Marge asking, where's Evan? Where's Evan? Evan will be back next week at a bachelor party for one of his boys, not hosting a pre- or post-game. It's Jason Dumas tonight, so stay tuned. Cron 4's Jason Dumas, he'll be in. But again, going back to the Golden State Warriors, and
I'll tell you where Evan is. Evan is eight, he's 8 beers deep in Memphis right now.
Oh, yeah. He's in Nashville.
He's in Nashville listening to some
tell
dude.
Tell us what it is, damn it.
Listening to some dude with sunglasses wail right now on a saxophone as he just gets
the dueling pianos
as he gets liquored.
Man,
no, he doesn't drink.
I'm pretty sure they saw a Vanderbilt baseball game yesterday.
So yeah, what were we getting back to?
No, I was just saying, talking about Evan, whatever, but going back to Kuminga, like, what, like, it took Kuminga going in telling Kerr, hey, feed me, I need to eat a little more, I'm hungry. I think for Golden State, I do wonder if that opened up doors for players like TJD to Pajemski. Okay, like, maybe Steve Kerr said, I need to open my eyes to allowing young players to play more. They can succeed in the NBA.
Yeah, and it doesn't really matter, I guess, how they got to this place, because whether you can say Kerr was slow to recognizing these younger players or not, I mean, they're now playing.
Yeah.
And I think that this is the best version of the Golden State Warriors. I mean, who, it really doesn't matter how. We can argue that it could have happened a little bit sooner, but the rotation right now and the usage of these young players when Steph Curry is healthy, mm-hmm. this to me is the best version you're going to get of the Golden State Warriors. This gives you a puncher's chance to get to, is I think, the Western Conference Finals, because nobody else scares me aside from Denver, as crazy as that statement might sound. But this is this is the best. The Moses Moody now getting run.
Yeah.
TJD now leapfrogging Dario Saric and Kevon Looney. Podziemski, a couple of weeks ago, moved into the starting lineup. Jonathan Kuminga is now a starter and a guy getting nearly 30 minutes of run. Like, all the kids now are playing, and it's working, and it's coexisting, and the chemistry is there with the older players. So this is it. What you saw against Milwaukee is what's going to give you an opportunity, that blend of the youth and the experience. That is the Golden State Warriors in 2024 that's going to give you the best shot of potentially beating the Denver Nuggets or making a serious run in the postseason. We have a couple of minutes. The phone lines are open at 888-957-9570. Give me Matthew hanging out in San Francisco. What's up, Matty?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to tell you an observation I had when I was watching that Bulls game. And one of the things that stood out to me is there were some aspects of the players on the Bulls that I wish the Warriors had. I couldn't help but be a little envious. One is Vucevic, a big guy who can shoot, a mobile big guy, sort of a versatile big guy. Secondly, obviously, DeRozan. I know that Kuminga is kind of getting to that level, but a guy who can just, you know, create his own shot, get to the line. That's something, another thing the Warriors do not have. And lastly, Caruso, just a really good on-the-ball defender. Although we have GP2, I don't think we have a guy with that type of size who can just kind of defend multiple positions. And I'll take any comments off the air.
It's a lot of good points, Matthew. I think DeMar DeRozan is someone that I said when they were, you know, is Andrew Wiggins going to be here? Is he going to get traded? That's someone I told everyone in the office, hey, go get me DeMar DeRozan. He can feed inside the paint. He'll get to the line. And for Kuminga recently, we talked about his three-point shooting earlier. I don't want to see him shooting threes. I want to see you in the paint, boxing some guys up and getting down there, driving to the basket. And I want to see him. And he's arguably Golden State's best player at doing so, getting to the free throw line. You want to talk about buying your veteran players a break when it's a third quarter and Chicago's going on their run, which they did, to take the lead back. What do I want to see? Kuminga getting in the lane, getting free throws. It buys your team a mini break. It allows Kerr to make rotational change. Like, Kuminga is, and Wiggins too. Him and Wiggins have to do that more. Get to the line, especially when your team's reeling in the third quarter. I want to see Kuminga and Wiggins step up with Curry off the court.
You know what I love about DeRozan? He lives with the midi.
The mid-range. It's great.
Bring back the mid-range.
He's,
man,
what Wiggins really should have been. He's not going to hit threes, but he can get in the paint, hit the mid-range jumper, get you an easy two. Golden State at times the past couple years, they will live and die by the three.
Mm.
What do you need? Give me that mid-range jumper. Give me a two. Keep me in this game. Make a, you know, 4-point lead from my opponent, not go to 7. Keep it within 2 points if you can.
And the caller also asked about Alex Caruso. Well, he is a guy that
Kerr
they coveted.
Loves him.
And they wanted. I mean, that is, you know, again, if Kerr was to create the perfect basketball player to fit into his system, it'd be Alex Caruso. And I think that Podziemski's got a little AC in him.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
He's just not as small or not as big, and he's not as seasoned.
Also not as great of a free throw shooter as Caruso is.
Well, that can improve.
Right, that comes with time, right? But
yeah, and his outside shot. No, he's not as good of a player as Alex Caruso. Alex Caruso is one of the best two-way
players. He's seasoned. Yeah. Lakers, Bulls now, like, yeah.
But Caruso would have been the perfect Golden State Warrior. I just think Chicago was delusional when the Warriors knocked on the door and said, hey, what is it going to take for Alex Caruso? And I think they asked for everybody, including Kuminga and draft picks and Moody, right, and whomever.
Well, I think Chicago now regrets that. They could have traded Zach LaVine, didn't do it. Could have traded Vucevic, didn't do it. And I get they're fighting for a spot in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, but they wanted to blow that thing up in Chicago. And we're just like, give us 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 first-round draft picks for our stars, and no one's paying that for Rosen or DeMar DeRozan or Vucevic or even Caruso. No one's giving you a first or 2 first-round draft picks for Alex Caruso. It's not going to happen. But now, Moses Moody, I would have said yes if I was Chicago. And I do think, for as good as Moody has played, I think Steve Kerr would have said, yeah, we'll give you Moody in a first for Caruso. I really do.
And as far as Vucevic hitting threes, he's always been a good outside shooter. Yeah. He's always been a good player. And he is just somebody that maybe a lot of people aren't familiar with, but Vucevic is very, very effective. And, yeah, the Warriors would love to have a guy like that. But, you know, it's just going to take too much to get somebody like him. And the Warriors, look, they're fine as far as their bigs with the emergence of Trayce Jackson-Davis, as far as I'm concerned.
They do need that stretch big, though, which should be Sarge, but...
All right, from my man Sterling Bennett. Sterling, you'll be working throughout the day?
I'm here from, 8 a.m. all the way until whenever the Warriors post-game's over with Jason Dumas.
By the way, I appreciate you dressing up today. You look good. Sterling Bennett, I mean, you've lost weight. Yeah. You got the faces defined. You look like a boy model, man.
Boy, I came in yesterday to fill in for Evan, and Bonte was like, look at that jawline. And I was like, Okay, like, take a step back. I'm behind glass. You can't see very well, but...
Let's all keep in mind, it's so he can fit into the monkey suit when he walks down the aisle in about a month or 2 months. So
May 31st.
He's doing it, fans. That's right. As Sterling Bennett doing a bang-up job filling in today for one Evan Giddings, for my man Sterling, and, of course, Kenny from Queens producing today. This is Dan Avone reminding you that the Golden State Warriors tonight take on the San Antonio Spurs. Jason Dumas out of KRON and 95.7's own. We'll give you the pregame show beginning, I believe, at 6 or no, 4, 4:30?
Yeah. 4:30.
4:30 with the pregame show, handing things off to Tim Roy and company. Until then, this is Dan Avone saying we'll see you right back here next week for another edition of Warriors This Week. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.